Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh coming up in this bulletin. The Department of Housing has today published the monthly homeless figures for May. We'll hear from the Social Democrats and Sinn Féin. The North's Infrastructure Minister responds to reports that her department handed back unspent monies to the Department of Finance. A man in his 30s dies following a motorcycle crash in County Leitrim. Meanwhile, Gardaí say the outcome of a post-mortem will determine the direction of their investigation following the discovery of the body of a man in his 50s in Kincashley yesterday, and solicitors say they'll continue to withdraw from criminal legal aid work if the government doesn't engage. Later in the bulletin, Mark's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:45, but we begin this evening with the homeless figures for May. The government figures published this afternoon. They show the numbers accessing services in the Northwest were broadly similar to the figures for April, but there was a 20% rise in the number of families in emergency accommodation at the end of May. With more, here's Eamon Torsney.
There were 162 adults recorded as homeless in the Northwest at the end of last month, a rise of one on the April figure. Of those, 40 were in Donegal, a fall of one. There were 35 families recorded as homeless in the region at the end of May, up six from April, while the number of children registered as homeless in the Northwest rose by one to 70. Nationally, the number of people accessing homeless services fell by 101, with 17,447 people in emergency accommodation in the month of May. Of those, 5,583 were children, a fall of 21.
Well, Social Democrats TD Rory Hearn says while the figure nationally may have dropped slightly, we're still in exactly the same place that we were last month.
We're still in an absolute emergency, and I have real concerns that these figures are not capturing the true scale of homelessness. And I am concerned that what we're seeing is, and what we're hearing and talking to local authorities and people who are experiencing evictions, is that there is a tsunami of hidden homelessness happening.
Well, Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson Eoin O'Brien says the government cannot use these figures to justify saying that figures are coming down.
We've had over the last number of years months where there have been marginal reductions. Any reduction in the number of adults and children in emergency accommodation I welcome, but I think it would be a very unwise move for government to claim any corner has been turned when so many people are experiencing homelessness. What we actually need to see is new measures being introduced by government. We've set them out, as has the Oireachtas Committee.
And you can access that full report from the government on our website, highlandradio.com. The North's Infrastructure Minister, Liz Kimmins, has responded to reports that her department handed back unspent monies to the Department of Finance. It's been claimed that in the region of 180 million was unspent by her department. She says the money in question had been earmarked for the A5, and most of it was given back to the department for other projects. With more, here's Ryan Brawley.
In a statement this afternoon, Liz Kimmins says recent commentary around DFI handing back capital funding over a two-year period misrepresents how government finance works. She says her department was allocated specific funding by the executive that was earmarked for the A5. She says the rules state that any unspent earmarked funding must be returned to the Department of Finance, and the reason much of this funding was returned was due to the ongoing legal proceedings which have prevented her from proceeding construction and spending this funding as intended. She says she subsequently bid for additional funding for other projects across that two-year period, and her department received £163 million, allowing her to provide additional funding across roads, infrastructure and TransLink.
A man in his 30s has died following a motorcycle crash in County Leitrim. It happened on the Balnamore to Clun Road at around 20 to 9 yesterday morning. He was brought by air ambulance to Beaumont Hospital in Dublin, where he has since been pronounced dead. Meanwhile, Gardaí say the outcome of a post-mortem examination will determine the direction of their investigations following the discovery of the body of a man in his 50s at a location in Kincashley yesterday. Gardaí say they responded to the discovery at around 20 to 3. No further details have been released. Solicitors say they will continue to withdraw from criminal legal aid work if the government doesn't engage with them over pay disputes. The proposed changes to the legal aid scheme are due to come into effect next week. They would see lawyers paid a flat fee for a case instead of per court appearance. The Law Society says the fee doesn't reflect the amount of work that goes into each case, with some seeing required 20 appearances and more. The president of the Law Society, Rosemary Loftus, says it's up to the individual solicitor as to whether they withdraw their services.
They have decided that this is not workable, and they are the persons who have done this in a lot of cases on a pro bono basis because of the fact that they've had an accused that they want to bring back into the reformative process, that they are able to go back into civic society. They want to help people, but they have to have reality in how it is workable within the system.
Liam Herrick is Chief Commissioner of the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission. He says the reforms will impact the most vulnerable.
The real issue here is that we do have challenges in Ireland in terms of access to justice and access to legal representation. We believe that they can be addressed, and we understand that the government wants to address them, but the concern here is that we could be having unintended consequences and making a difficult situation even more difficult.
A Donegal councillor says the number of women and children facing or under threat of abuse is even bigger than the figure released this week. Donegal Women's Centre has expressed deep concern following the release of figures showing a 33% increase in disclosures of abuse to Women's Aid in 2025. Women's Aid reporting a record 62,275 disclosures of abuse against women and children, with 37,790 contacts in 2025. Overall, that's an increase of 11.5% on the previous year. Councillor Joy Beard is stressing the actual figure is higher. She says a societal response is required.
I think anyone reading the statistics this morning should be deeply, deeply concerned. You know that there's 62,000 disclosures of abuse against women and children in 2025 by Women's Aid that they've recorded. You know, and that we have to remember there's people behind closed doors that aren't coming forward. Obviously, it's a very, very difficult place to be. And unfortunately, we're seeing more and more of it. And I think it's something that we need to start addressing. And I have to pay tribute to all the agencies that work, people, you know, who are in this crisis point in their lives. But they do need, victims need access to counselling, they need mental health supports, they need emergency accommodation, they need that legal representation, and they need financial assistance so as they can move on and get the help that they need. And a lot of these agencies are actually voluntary, you know, relying on just grant funding, and it just isn't sufficient.
And you've called domestic violence a societal issue, and you've called for a more proactive approach to the problem instead of reactive.
I do believe personally that, you know, there's a lot of social media presence there, and I think educating people into what a healthy relationship is very, very important. You know, I think anyone, you know, should be able to reach out and get the help that they need, but no one should have to remain in an abusive relationship because they're worried about what supports are in place and how they're going to be able to move forward. You know, that this figure cannot become another headline. This is deeply, deeply worrying, and we do need now to make sure that every victim, man or woman, do have access to the protection that they need.
And that was Councillor Joy Beard. The unveiling of a new €50 million sewage scheme serving Milford, Remelton and Rathmullen has been hailed as a game changer. The project's intended to address existing need and unlock land for further infrastructure such as housing. Minister Charlie McConnell says it's a significant development for the three towns concerned.
It provides a platform for the development of all three towns so that we can see more housing and also more business and more investment in Milford, Remelton and Rathmullen. So it's really significant. It also is significant from the point of view that it's bringing three towns together into the one network. And that's something hopefully they can provide a model which we can use in the years ahead as well for developing wastewater infrastructure across the county. It also comes alongside significant investment in wastewater infrastructure in the county. For example, we also have €30 million investment ongoing at the moment in a new treatment plant in Kilmacrennan, and just coming to the completion of significant wastewater treatment investment and upgrade in Buncrana.
And for the people in Remelton, Rathmullen and Milford, what benefit are they likely to see on the ground as a result of this work?
What we will see is all of the, no more issues with sewage treatment in any of those towns, meaning that their capacity is there. There's a fully functioning system which brings the sewage away, brings it to a central treatment point where it's treated safely in an environmentally sustainable manner. And also then it means that there is no discharge from those three towns into the Swilly, which had been the case over the years, where we were seeing untreated discharge into the Swilly and the impact that was having in water quality. So it puts the basic infrastructure of strong functioning towns in place for Rathmullen, Milford and Remelton. And what it means for going forward as well, as it means the businesses and enterprises and also the new housing and the building of the communities can continue, because the basic infrastructure is there to build upon.
And that was Minister Charlie McConnellogue. Members and officials from Donegal County Council and Derry City and Strabane District Council were at Stormont this week, along with civic leaders and key regional stakeholders, to launch the revised Northwest Strategic Growth Plan and a significant new cross-border health memorandum of understanding. The First Minister Michelle O'Neill, her deputy Emma Little-Pengelly, the Economy Minister Caoimhe Archibald and the Health Minister Mike Nesbitt all attended. Well, Donegal County Council Cathaoirleach Councillor Paul Canning says it was a very positive meeting, with a similar event planned for Leinster House later this year. He says there is a strong level of ambition locally that Dublin and Stormont need to match, but he says a good start's been made.
Those ministers all spoke very positive about strengthening the connection and the collaboration with each other. And I was interested, the Health Minister, Mike Nesbitt, he spoke and he said he would like to see it made easy access for Donegal patients wanting to attend Alfie Galvin. They also kind of stated the road connectivity needs to happen to sort of enable everyone sort of easy movement within the different jurisdictions. So I thought it very positive, Donal, and the fact that both sides of the political divide in the north were speaking out of the same hymn sheet.
There continues to be a lot of focus on the Northwest City region. Is that getting the recognition and the support it deserves, both in Stormont and in Dublin?
I think it's actually getting more in and around September, October. We will be taking the exact same team, well, a different mayor, down to the Dáil to meet with a number of ministers in the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach to have the same discussion with them to avail of more funding, but also we are working and we have done a lot of work in our shared planning ideas. We're not just stopping at the border. We're thinking about what's on the other side regarding our schools, regarding our complexes, regarding our hospitals. Our two councils have it nailed. They know exactly what they want. But it's trying to convince both Stormont and Dublin as to that this needs to happen, and this needs to get the city status for both areas and get the same funding that the Galways and the Corks and the Dublins and the Limericks gets. That's our aim.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, your home for GAA gear.
It's approaching 5:45. Good evening, Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Dono. Good evening. We'll start with motorsport. It's been a mixed day for John Armstrong and co-driver Shane Byrne at the Rally Acropolis in the World Rally Championship. Having been up as far as third at one point earlier, the Fermanagh-Donegal duo then claimed their first ever stage win in the WRC as they went quickest through SS5 at Eloquent Mountain in their M Sport Ford Puma. However, a double puncture and turbo issues on the next two stages has seen the pair drop out of the day's action. Derry native Joshua McAuleen is having a good rally after competing in the Donegal International Rally last weekend. McAuleen is fourth overall in his Ford Puma alongside navigator Owen Tracy. Leading the rally is Thierry Neuville in his i20, while Seb Ogier is second and Adrian Formeau is third. Japanese driver Takamoto Katsuda and OMA co-driver Aaron Johnson sits sixth overall in their GR Yaris. In soccer, the prospective investor who's interested in buying Finn Harps has been revealed today as former Filipino professional player Freddy Gonzalez. A successful businessman, he served for a time as director of national teams for the Philippine Football Federation, and since stepping down a year ago, he has been seeking to buy a club in Europe. He says he intends to spend a lot of time in Donegal during the season, adding he believes the growing success of the League of Ireland makes this the right time to invest. Details of his proposal have been circulated to members, with a special general meeting to take place on Sunday week, July 5th, at which a vote will be taken on the possible takeover. Well, Finn Harps are back in action on the pitch this evening. Kevin McHugh's side have had a poor run of results, which has left them without a win in five matches. Harps are now second from bottom of the SSE Electricity League First Division standings ahead of tonight's game. And former captain Keith Cowan says the experienced players need to lead the charge to turn the season around.
We're trying to look at some positives. You look at Owen McHugh there. You know, his goal last week was absolutely fantastic. You know, it was a great turn of pace. You know, two co-defenders, Shane Griffin and Kane Coleman. You know, excellent defenders at that level. You know, he done really well against them, and a really cool finish for such a young man. You know, hard to believe he's only 16. So, that's a big positive that Harps have. But you have to look at the experienced boys, and you have to, you know, they have to be kind of running that dressing room. They have to be, you know, maybe pointing a few fingers and putting pressure on certain people to say how you conducting yourself away from the training ground, what extra are you doing, you know, how you putting yourself in the best condition to be going out come a Friday night. Because if that's not being done, then you can, you know, you can take a couple of hidings, and that just destroys a whole season.
We'll have updates with Kevin Egan from the quarter to eight kickoff in the Midlands later. Elsewhere in the First Division tonight, runaway leaders Cork City play Bray Wanderers at Turner's Cross. UCD host Cove Ramblers, Wexford play Treaty United, and Kerry are at home to Longford. Derry City will look to build on Monday evening's point away to league leader Shamrock Rovers when they welcome Drogheda United to the Ryan McBray Brandywell. It's the first game back at the stadium after a series of matches at Celtic Park, as the Brandywell was undergoing pitch resurfacing works. Candy Stripes manager Tiernan Lynch says the players are excited to get back onto a high quality surface.
The players have just talked about the excitement now of getting onto this pitch. Believe it or not, it actually started on Monday night at Tala. They came in from the warm-up and there was a buzz about them getting on a good pitch and being able to play the football that we want to play. And I think there's a real excitement there and a real buzz to, one, get home, but two, get home to the new facilities. So hopefully we can go and back that up with a win.
Elsewhere in the top flight tonight, Shamrock Rovers host Galway United, Dundalk play Waterford, and St Patrick's Athletic go to Bohemians. A venue has been confirmed for Ireland's Nations League fixture away to Israel. The two sides will play at the Nagyar Day Stadium in Hungary on the 27th of September. The FAI have also proposed a neutral venue for the reverse fixture, but details of that game are yet to be confirmed. The teams in Group G, H and I will learn their fate at this year's FIFA World Cup this evening. Group I is the first to have their final game settled as France meet Norway and Senegal take on Iraq. Both of those games get underway from 8 o'clock. The action continues overnight in Group H, with Pico Lopez's Cape Verde able to advance to the last 32 if they can avoid defeat to Saudi Arabia. At the same time, 2010 winners Spain face Uruguay, and after that, all three qualification spots are still up for grabs in Group G, where Belgium meet New Zealand and Egypt take on Iran. Manchester City have agreed a deal with Nottingham Forest to sign Elliot Anderson for £116 million, a record for a British player. The midfielder is now set to have a medical in the US, where he is with England at the World Cup. Former Premier League defender Jamie Carragher says the 23-year-old will make City's midfield formidable alongside Rodri.
I think this was a deal Manchester City would have done if Pep Guardiola was still at the club. So I think it's not just about the manager, maybe Maresca saying, you know, really, you know, likes the player. I think this was a deal Manchester City wanted to get done anyway. And I think with Bernardo Silva moving on to Real Madrid, I think it's just the obvious, you know, spot now for Elliot Anderson to join.
In Gaelic games, there's a full round of Donegal Hurling Championship fixtures this evening. In Group A, Burt play Sean McCool's, Setanta play Cairn Donagh, and it is St Junan's v Buncrana. Group B sees the meeting of St Junan's B and Letterkenny Gaels. Iveragh Ballyshannon play Dunloe, and Burt B take on Four Masters. Tomorrow sees the first two All-Ireland Senior Football Championship quarter-final clashes take place at Croke Park. Cork play Mayo from 4, while Tyrone face All-Ireland champions Kerry at 6:15. The other two last eight ties are on Sunday, with Louth facing Monaghan and Galway taking on Dublin. Galway will retire their number 10 jersey this weekend in honour of Paul Clancy following his death earlier this week. And finally, in golf, Shane Lowry is 2 under par heading into day 2 at the Travellers Championship. He is 5 shots off the leaders Eric Cole and JJ Spaun at TPC River Highlands. His tee time has been moved back to 6 o'clock this evening. That's all from the Sports Desk for now, but don't forget to tune in later for live updates from the Finn Harps game from 7:45. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. As part of a national funding announcement of €3 million into libraries in Ireland, Donegal has been allocated more than €95,000. The money is intended to provide sensory equipment, accessibility infrastructure, ICT hardware upgrades to increase broadband speed, and modern furniture and operational equipment. The investment is being delivered under the Libraries Capital Programme. Agusanish Anucht. Olive, eich colum ferreter.
Chewer mahasa, shower good, preves guilty, iron shew last fee, the me mehev. Fogri a new groupy giriga ugs giltic to awal edge buncha a ma aku ergarlis to ardan fee hefees a shay. Corbresh ugs shaska, groupa giriga ugs giltic to intralistia, erin comortis, ur nua, a hagen I gorvacht comortus glorning ale, and ran farchiocht is irja a reeve a gomortus nashunta glorning ale. Bronher na dushina ergach grupa a will edge puncha a ma aku erringarlista. Ordwas the 3,000 euro and duas a chistia omlan ata on da ardan fihe fius a she. Lena neri tar 3,000 euro dan ked ach agus 5,000 dan darna ach. Com aile duasina sna hocht gatagort an comortish. Be leiru on an octan scannan na uur trad eg araclan gidor ta megan na canalia as gidor mar friv ashtur on agus bein scannan eran scahan wort eg toshar dig a hocht a clog trnona ta tekeji ar foil eg an foiltu eg araclan gidor. Ta clar emakti fogarha don caduru fihe blianna on a div padrig dor eg eistir na shan pobl agus eg gnivu ar a son ata araktal eran inya a jihuladmi ul be e kyotri gus kanchori golior on the karshia sir irakt kyol agus shanahas and kanter agus star on the new padri komai janher park sugata ura oskols go hafigul agus sholher and gradam solish moya nivranan gahola serlina egg agus egg on the new padri door Coran and Corlia Ajaha Skeltic Dogus Gail Scully Octa Falcha Riv Iratish O Hajori or Wilofa Doctor Octa Yenov Bunyan and Offra Latija at Hayanover Arbor Sanula a winning Lemi Homish Rectanus Chagas Ja Clactus Ogus Ko Hahu Sa Chorus Ajahis Takira Sparan Tucker Foil Agus to gaholus ig cog bonkai e Kellyra her fela alinya agus culture her na shanvarak Ranal Kara and Jerry Sharton Shaw Le Cardlan a kyol dausa agus cardiacta fogarha chlar na fela Agus shin mahaj eligulier slan agus banakt.
Got a mahagus column, agus anish, and I'm sure. A mix of sunshine and scattered showers. This evening, some possibly heavy and thundery, with lightning possible as well. Showers will gradually die out tonight with clear spells developing, becoming cloudier later with some patchy light rain or drizzle developing. Southerly breezes and lows tonight of 14 to 17 degrees Celsius. It'll become overcast early tomorrow morning with scattered showers and southerly breezes. Some of the showers could be heavy for a time, cooler than previously with top temperatures on Saturday of 19 to 23 degrees Celsius. Looking now at the closing headlines on this Friday evening, the Department of Housing has published the monthly homeless report for May. The numbers accessing services in the Northwest were broadly similar to the previous month. There was a slight fall in the figure nationally. The Social Democrats say we're still in the same state of emergency as we have been now for the past while. The North's infrastructure minister has responded to reports that her department handed back £180 million in monies to the Department of Finance. She says the money in question had been earmarked for the A5 and had to be given back because of the legal case against that project. Most of it, she said, was given back to her department for other projects. And a man in his 30s has died following a motorcycle crash in Leitrim. It happened on the Ballinamore to Clune Road at around 20:09 yesterday morning. He was rushed by air ambulance to Bowman Hospital in Dublin, but has now been pronounced deceased. We're back with news again at 7 o'clock. In the interim, check all today's news on highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, have a very good evening. The obituary notices for this Friday evening, the 26th of June. The death has occurred of Gordon Robb, Burnham, Buckinghamshire, England, formerly of Lahey. Funeral service will take place in Drumholm Parish Church, Ballintra, at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, followed by burial in Drumholm Graveyard. The death has taken place of Michael Mick McGahan, formerly of 233 St. Jinan's Terrace, Ruffoe, and Brindley Manor Nursing Home, Convoy. His remains will repose at Terence McClintock Funeral Home, Convoy, on tomorrow Saturday evening from 4 o'clock until Rosary at 8, and on Sunday from 5 until after the Rosary at 9. Funeral from there on Monday morning at 10:30, going to St. Jinan's Church, Ruffoe, for funeral mass at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Terence McClintock Funeral Director. The funeral mass can be viewed on parishofruffoe.ie. The death has occurred of Elizabeth Betty Boyle, name McGrory, 5 Glendon Park, out in the Garvan. Betty will repose at her home until 10 o'clock this evening. Finol from there tomorrow morning at 9:30 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Eugene's Cathedral, with interment afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Ardmore. Family Flowers only pleased donations in lieu of desired to the Foyle Food Bank, Derry City. The death has taken place in Holland of John O'Donnell, for Oris Freja, Derry Beg, and formerly of Church Hill. His remains will repose at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derry Beg, on Sunday from 2 p.m. until a rosary at 8 p.m. Funeral Mass on Monday morning at 11 in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Dunluey, with burial afterwards in Temple Douglas Graveyard, Church Hill. The Funeral Mass can be viewed on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page and via MCN Media. Family Flowers only pleased donations in lieu of desired to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, care of any family member, or Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director. And the death has taken place in Florida of Donald Breslin, Bunbeg Guidor. His remains are reposing at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derry Beg, until rosary at 9 o'clock tonight, and again tomorrow from 1 o'clock until rosary at 8. Following the rosary tomorrow night, his remains will be removed to the family home, which is private, please. Donald's funeral mass will take place on Sunday at 1:30 in St. Columbkill's Church, Knockfulla, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page and via MCN Media. Family Flowers only pleased donations in lieu of desired to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, care of any family member, or Kieran Rorty Funeral Director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.